Warning! This program will contain massive spoilers and profanity for absolutely everything we discuss. Consider yourself warned. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chilling Amongst the Mangoes, part two of Transformers Dark of the Moon. I'm CJ Welker. Gage Topolsky is not with me, but he will be with me during the episode. We cut this episode up into two halves during editing, and this is part two. Without further ado, let's get right back into it.
Sam gets the watch. Sentinel sends a message to the UN saying that peace can only exist between the Decepticons and the humans as long as there are no Autobots on the planet. CIA lady apologizes to Sam, tells him that they should have trusted him to begin with, but now that he's actually a spy, he's trying to get out of it.
So, go ahead, sorry.
If he was smart, he would realize that both he and his girlfriend's lives are forfeit to begin with, and would sacrifice any amount of immediate pain to inform the Autobots or somebody of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it means, like, scanning documents with his right, oh no, it was on his left hand. So he could just write something out, say, keep shit away from my watch, they're mm-hmm. watching. Like, but no, he's not. He doesn't do that.
He's never been a smart character.
No, he hasn't. The UN decides to... Well, no, that's the wrong word.
They unanimously.
Unanimously, thank you.
Different in the book.
Yeah.
The UN almost unanimously decides, no, that's a bad idea. Let's keep Optimus and the others here because they can protect us. And the US overrules them and forces them out.
Okay. Yeah, because the US is like... Every time they talk about the world, mm-hmm. what they're actually talking about is the U.S.
Yeah.
And it's so dumb.
Yeah. But
I'm glad that the book at least gives the rest of the world credit.
Yeah. No, everybody else is just like, yeah, no, that ain't gonna fucking happen. That's not how this shit works.
Hey, whatever happened to not making deals with terrorists?
What's weird is that the entirety of the U.N. is more patriotic than the U.S. in that scene. It's so great. It's not even necessarily a scene. It's like a paragraph explaining what happened. But yeah, the U.S. is just like, nope, they're gone. We're done.
Yeah.
This is the Obama administration.
They would have kept, like this is the system. This is the administration that is most well known for healthcare.
Yeah.
And robot warfare.
Yeah.
Of course they keep the robots around.
Yeah. And being a lot more lenient with, immigration
yeah.
laws.
Yeah.
It's like, but no, we're deporting the Autobots.
No, it's stupid.
It is.
My guess is that they shifted it over to UN blame entirely.
Yeah.
To keep America looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I, as much as I think that it's stupid, the whole Autobot death fake out, it does set up my favorite Optimus Prime speech of all time, so I'm cool with it.
It's so... But his speech feels so dumb because of all the shit that happened because he was doing the, hey, fake out.
I disagree. I mean, even in the last movie, we saw, like government officials telling Optimus, hey, if we want you gone,
yeah,
like, then the Decepticons are going to leave. So Optimus did have a point in that speech.
Okay.
Leaders have been telling him probably the entire time that he's been working with Nest.
Okay.
That, like, hey, all you need to do is go away and we'll be good.
Mm. Okay. UN kicks out the Autobots, but despite being a canonically spacefaring race in the first movie, they can only travel with spaceships now. And America built a new super heavy lift rocket, hybrid human transformer technology called Byzantium, to launch the Autobots off.
It's just the Xantium.
The Xantium?
Yeah. The ship's name is the Xantium.
That's stupid. All right. Tyrese Gibson is here.
He has lines in this movie.
Yay.
And he sells them.
Yeah. He's been downgraded to a maintenance worker.
He retired from the Air Force.
Oh, he's retired. That's right. And works at as the NASA launch site. He calls it his dream job. I do. I would too.
Yeah. Well, he still gets to work with the Transformers, albeit the Wreckers.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily the same thing.
John Turturro is here. He's in the cast in electric wheelchair and is generally gross and sexist. Apparently, he hooked up with the head of the CIA lady one night ages ago. Yeah. Okay, this is a fact that can be, it's gross. Whatever.
We're just trying to get through the rest of Act 2 so we can get to Act 3, which is the good part.
Optimus Prime prepares to leave. He apologizes, claiming that they were correct. This is all my fault. And in a very rare, good line read from Sam, it doesn't make it your fault. It just makes you human for a change.
Yeah.
And I think that's my favorite line of this movie. As much as I fucking cracked up to, that means goodbye. This one has some weight to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. Optimus says too many things that I love in this movie for me to give anything, give any best line to anybody else.
Okay.
Like,
I'm glad you finished.
I'm just getting started.
So,
round two, motherfucker!
Sam gets some pain from the watch. He begrudgingly asks Optimus what the plan is. And
oh my god, how great would it have been if when Sam had the watch on and it did something, he just went,
That feels like a Shia LaBeouf ad lib, too.
Yeah, but at the same time, I could see Dylan putting it on him, and then him just going, like, nope, never mind, take it off. This is not what we're doing here. This is not what that is.
Don't bully me, you'll come.
God, I hate that that's accurate to my life. You know my love language is roasting each other.
Oh my God, let's move on. So Optimus says, I'm done, we're done, we're out. They say goodbye. Bumblebee says goodbye to Sam's using some really great final movie quotes. Yeah. I really liked that the entire conversation was from quotes from the last lines in famous movies. That was great. And the Autobots leave. As they take off, Starscream drops out from the upper atmosphere and bombs the shit out of the escape shuttle. Sad music plays and the watch jumps off of Sam's wrists. He gets a call from the collaborator who says, I'm gonna keep your girlfriend for reasons, as she is now a living MacGuffin. Once they're done talking, he gives the phone number to the German assistant, who is able to hack the phone, get into the camera, and they figure out where the girlfriend's boss is. He's in Chicago at the lower penthouse in the Trump Tower, because that's where all rich assholes are.
Honestly, I do love that.
Yeah.
I do love that. He's in the lower penthouse in Trump Tower. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's fitting. That's where all human garbage goes.
Yeah. I can also, like, I can see, like, if, like, obviously this had to go by Trump.
Yeah.
I can see in his mind being like, oh, you have some big rich guy. Okay, you can use my tower, but only the lower penthouse.
You can only use the lower penthouse. The upper penthouse is exclusive. It's great. You're going to love it, but you're not allowed in. You have to use the lower one. It's
like scared of a fictional billionaire.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's like, I don't know. I don't want to say anything specific. He might be a little hotter than me. Like, you're a little.
The girlfriend asks the collaborator, okay, so what is Big Evil Plan? And he tells her what Big Evil Plan is.
Big Evil Plan's kind of stupid.
Big Evil Plan is very stupid.
That's why I love it.
Decepticons are going to bring the remnants of Cybertron to the surface of Earth and utilize humanity as a slave labor force. Now, when he originally said this, I thought they meant, like, they were going to take the surface of Cybertron and, like, build it around the city, around the planet, and then, like, teleport it going in until it, like, was stable on Earth. But no, they just try to bring...
Oh, yeah, no, they just wanted Cybertron to be in Earth's atmosphere.
Which doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, it doesn't.
All right. Sentinel Prime decides to bomb the city that he's in, killing all the people that we were just told would be the workforce. Boss's denial about the whole situation, being a collaborator with space Nazis. No, not space Nazis. The Nazis were more organized. This is just stupid wailing violence. Kind of.
Wacky inflatable.
Wacky inflatable. Wacky inflatable flailing on failing two men.
Yeah.
I can only do it once.
I don't remember what that like, but yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's just like, hey, we're big and evil, so we're going to blow up the things that we're going to use as slave labor.
It was a single city.
Yeah, I guess.
And still, honestly, they decimated Chicago. That was still a lower body count than just a modern day in Chicago.
So mean. I agree with you, but that's so mean.
I mean,
like whenever someone says dark, I love dark humor, but whenever someone says dark humor, my gut reaction is usually ha and then oh. That one was oh and then ha. So it just hit me a little differently.
And here's the thing. Every single time I've watched this movie, that thought just goes through my brain, just like, yeah, still less of a lethal day than most in Chicago.
I do love the design of Chicago with the bridges and everything. It's a beautiful city.
It was a great idea to set like the last half of this, or the last hour of this movie, entirely in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like a decimated apocalyptic Chicago. So great.
Yeah. So Sam and a bunch of former NES agents team up to go save his girlfriend. Oh, a Linkin Park song. I fucking love that song.
Iridescent is amazing.
And you had told me that everything here was going to be Goo Goo Dolls. And I was totally prepared for that.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You said Goo Goo Dolls did the third movie.
No. I said that Imagine Dragons did the fourth movie.
Right. Okay. Got that mixed up in my head.
Yeah. I would have rather Goo Goo Dolls did the fourth movie.
Yeah, I like them. Soldiers go into Chicago as thousands try to escape the city. Oh, as during the Decepticons just kill people like left and right. And every time we see the streets, there's still people running around.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
stay indoors.
Or if you're going to get out, get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like that. The bullets are so massive that the people just explode into dust.
Yeah.
I do like that. And they do have some, like, energy weapons that literally the only thing left over, like, you see a femur and a skull.
Yeah. I would have liked it if we got the glowing skeleton for, like, a single frame.
Oh, that would have been cool.
So
I feel like they were already at their max for the CGI budget, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's easier to have them just disappear from frame and have a little bit of particle smoke.
Yeah. So, they reach the outer edge of downtown proper and then realize how fucked they are. The soldiers try to talk Sam out of going after his girlfriend, and then they are attacked by a Decepticon fighter ship. And then they are rescued by Optimus Prime. The Wreckers literally, like, draw and quarter the Decepticon pilot, and then Optimus explains that the leaders of Earth needed
I can take it from here.
Okay,
this is about where I wanted to take over.
All right, cool.
So the Wreckers draw and quarter the Decepticon. It's dope. I'm sorry, it's dope.
It's pretty cool.
Optimus comes into frame. We will kill them all. He explains to Sam, your leaders will now understand. Decepticons will never leave your planet alone. And we needed them to believe we had gone. For today, in the name of freedom, we take the battle to them.
They could have done that 12 hours earlier when the city was literally...
It's a great fucking speech. Let me have this.
They hung out and just like waited around until Sam showed up.
So,
instead of offensive.
Wait, I'm about to say something negative about the movie.
Okay.
So, I love this speech. I love this return scene. It hits me the right way.
Okay.
But, one of the Wreckers does explain, because Sam says, I saw your ship blow up. Like, we designed the damn thing, didn't we? We were heading in the first booster rocket to separate. We ain't going nowhere. Now, here's the issue.
Yeah, now I noticed
from
this
the wide shot,
I noticed this
it
too.
Was not far enough in the atmosphere for any of the boosters to separate. That whole fucking ship blew up.
I noticed that too.
Were they just in a separate ship that just went that way?
Like, just, don't know.
This is not, that's not how rocket ships work. You have to be pretty fucking far up there. You see Starscream coming back down. All of the boosters are still attached.
Yeah. Yeah. That was dumb. It seems like a poor decision on Optimus Prime's part.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it have been amazing if, like, we actually got, like, obviously they're going to come back. We got a scene where, like, they were coming out of the ocean, like, beat to shit. And he said, I thought they were going to attack us. I thought we'd be able to launch away before that.
Yeah. Just like, dude, that sounds exactly like something that would have happened in the IDW comics.
Yeah.
Just, like, huge emotional scene. And then all of a sudden the next page is just like, oh, they're fine and they're mad at themselves. Yeah, that tracks.
And that would also make sense for why it took them so long to get to this situation.
Yeah.
Like, no, we couldn't find Bumblebee's left leg. A riptide tore it away. We had to go all the way down to New Mexico.
Yeah.
It was not New Mexico, Mexico. It was a whole ordeal. We had to do that.
Yeah.
Weirdly,
Sideswipe has a tan now? Because we were in Cancun.
I always had a tan, baby.
No, that was Dina.
Oh, that was Dio.
Sideswipe was the silver one.
Got it.
Would have been funny if he was just, like, bronze-ish for the rest. He literally just got bronzer on it. Like, a champagne color instead of silver.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, Carly looks through a telescope at the building right next to the one that she's in.
Yeah.
Where Sentinel and Megatron have some slight disagreements about who's in charge.
Yeah.
It's obviously Sentinel.
I like this scene.
I do too.
Because, like,
while I have deigned to work with you, I will never work for you, and you'd be wise to remember the difference.
He's holding.
That was as good as I can get to a Nimoy impression.
That was pretty
impression.
Good. I mean, that was angry,
at least for angry, a Sentinel impression.
Yeah. I love too. Was like he grabs.
Yeah, he grabs the destroyed part of Megatron's head and just, like, tears it a little bit more.
Yeah, just like, you're already weak.
Yeah.
You're still weak. Even if you grow this back, you'll still be weak.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
I just love how Sentinel just literally bitches Megatron around.
Yeah.
Bumblebee flies Sam in one of the Decepticon fighters to Trump Tower after telling Sam he can so-so fly it. I do like that little exchange.
Yeah, that was cute.
Sam confronts Dylan and then gets yeeted off of the building by Laserbeak. Bumblebee saves him. Carly jumps onto the ship. Bumblebee lights up the penthouse. A UAV drone gets sucked into the intake. Laserbeak goes in for the kill on Sam. Sam manages to get Laserbeak's head next to a gun, and B fires, taking his head off.
Yeah, no, I like this. I like this fight. I did think it was really stupid. Anytime humans were on screen during this fight, like Carly suddenly gained strength. So this entire time, she's been hauled around by these two giant bodyguards, and then all of a sudden she sees Sam, and
she,
like,
just pushes one of them daintily.
Eh.
And runs off and just jumps off the side of the building onto the ship. But also, I love when fighter is, like, spinning and crashing down, and we cut inside to Bumblebee, and Carly's just right there.
Yeah.
Like, just right in, like, on his lap.
Yeah.
I don't know, it looks like a kid on their, like, grandfather's lap pretending to drive a car.
Yeah. It was cute. It was just weird. It was just weird how they keep utilizing and then underutilizing Carly.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Boss Guy is ride or die for the collaborators.
Yeah.
So he warns the Decepticons.
Oh, he jumps off of a raising bridge.
Oh, that's right.
He jumps off of a bridge, warns Megatron and Sentinel that the Autobots are back, and then Epps uses the busted UAV drone to signal the plan to Meering and Simmons and all the military guys.
We get another ad for the Air Force.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's
fine. Again, the military is the most competent human characters in the movies.
That's true.
As much as I want to be mad about military masturbation, they're still the best written characters in the movies.
Yeah.
So it's like, whatever. I will. Honestly, that's the only thing that gives me hope that a G.I. Joe live action crossover will work. Just full disclosure.
Okay.
The human resistance decides to shoot down the control pillar using the one rocket that they have. Mm-hmm. Weird that they didn't bring more.
It looked like most of those guys were retired.
Yeah.
So, like, it was
the
just...
The fact that they had a rocket launcher to begin with is, like... But they need to get closer and higher for clear line of sight on the building. Lennox builds a team of Air Force to infiltrate the city for support. Autobots roll out as Shockwave and his driller arrive on scene.
Shockwave just growls.
Yep.
Yeah.
Menacingly.
He is still riding the Great Worm. So, like, here's the thing. I really like Shockwave.
Yeah.
And I really like the Worm.
Yeah. Me too. Here's the thing. In all of the marketing for this movie, mm-hmm. up until the book came out and it was revealed Sentinel was the bad guy, Shockwave was in all the marketing as the villain.
He has, like, one line in this film.
Right, but in the...
The marketing was
he was going to be the big bad.
Uh-huh.
And with that design, I can see that working.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of the marketing actually had, like, a fully CGI rendered, like, fight between... Shockwave and Optimus.
Oh.
I think it was actually in a Burger King ad.
Huh.
But it was fully rendered.
Interesting.
Like, to the quality that you see in the movie.
Huh.
I want to get my hands on that full fight. It was dope. And it was in a Burger King commercial.
Huh.
And it makes me mad that it was in a Burger King commercial.
Q gives James Bond his weapons.
These are called boomsticks, armed in 30 seconds.
And I did
grapple gloves for climbing.
Some of the military...
Optimus loses his trailer digger, like, knocks it off of him. They hide in an abandoned building. He says, Shockwave can't hunt all of us at once.
Mm.
Wreckers, we need a diversion. So the Wreckers turn into the Southerner Wet Dream and proceed to just light up Shockwave, who mm-hmm. uses a car as a shield.
Yeah. So,
and the two little fucks get left behind, Wheelie and Brains.
Right.
The Autobots are going nowhere. We're going to help you win this war. It's like, dude, you're 2 inches tall.
Yeah. The military gets some base jumping soldiers into the city.
Just let me take it. I have the entire rest of the movie. Just sit back, relax, and do what I normally do.
Okay.
I'm going to get mad at you if you try to read your own notes. All unless you are adding on to what I have already said.
Got it.
Lennox and his team get brought via plane to Willis Tower, which they are going to use for cover as they wingsuit into the city. Starscream takes out two of the planes while the men drop out and begin flying towards the barricaded buildings around the center of the city.
So, I don't know anything about base jumping. Those guys were able to hold formation while base jumping. Is that a thing you can do?
I don't know.
The base jumping scene I really like.
It's a great scene.
I can't decide. It's hovering right around the line of being a little too ridiculous. And they were able to keep everything like technologically down to earth.
See,
pardon the pun.
my thing is there are certain shots during this scene where I'm like, okay, I think they got actual base jumpers with drone footage and then CGI'd around them. And then there's other shots that's like, okay, it's clear that this shot was all CGI.
Yeah.
But I think they had, like, real stunt performers doing this.
Yeah.
I think they had an actual, like, base jumping team, like, doing this in formation. Some of this was practical.
I can't see any reason for military to base jump information.
I don't think it was not done in a city.
No, obviously. Yeah.
But they CGI'd everything in.
Yeah.
Around where these guys were going.
Okay.
Based on whatever routine they had come up with.
Yeah.
I think part of this was practical.
Okay.
I could be completely wrong.
I believe that. There were some shots of the base jumping where it was like,
because
really
there's yeah, and there's some that is really obvious, like, oh, okay, that dude's just fully CGI'd.
Yes.
So I...
Eh. Yeah.
Sam, Epps, and their team make it to a building with clear line of sight to the pillar, but as the Rocketeer gets ready to take the shot, Decepticon aerial fighters start shooting at the building, which is already leaning at its midpoint. A Decepticon hunter jumps onto the floor that they're on, and to get away, the humans... push a couple chairs to distract it, throw a flashbang, and then run quote unquote uphill, up floor.
Up floor. So one thing that's cool about this scene is this is like this goes back to the parts of directing that I do like from Michael Bay. Mm-hmm. That was a full like building set.
Yeah.
That like leaned down like Inception style.
Yeah.
Of like
yeah. They had a full tilting set.
They built an entire office floor mm-hmm. and then tilted it.
Two of them.
Oh, that's right, because they had two different floors. Yeah. And it's really impressive.
Yeah.
And it really works.
So they run up floor, jump out the window. They slide down the glass windows of the building at like a 45 degree angle, maybe a little bit more. Slide down. They shoot out the glass using their pistols on a lower floor, fall in, and all crunch, like slide and roll down to the other side of the building again. One of them, let me see. One guy falls out the window on the other side, and he and a desk almost hit Shockwave in the head in bullet time. So he calls the driller in to fuck shit up.
Yeah. No, I love that Shockwave sees this guy fall past him.
Sees the desk, like, right, like there's brush like a up against his, quote-unquote, nose.
Yeah. And then immediately looks up.
I do like, there's a coffee mug that falls, like, in front of his shoulder, and there's one that just hits him right in the head. He just looks up annoyed. Tyrese is just like, this evil thing's looking at me! I love Tyrese, and like,
yes.
Epps in the last two movies was like, okay, I like Tyrese Gibson as this character, not doing much, but he's a cool military guy. And then this one, he's like, oh, he has personality now. Yay. So the driller climbs up the building, like digs into the building and out and then back. It like burrows through the building.
Robo yeah. Shai Hulud burrows through a building. I really like this. This might be my favorite scene. The CGI.
Yeah.
And what annoys me is, okay, so this movie fixes the problem I had with the last one that you kept yelling at me about, because it separates.
Yes.
And it makes it very clear what parts the robots are what parts.
Yeah.
And even when you have a giant alien death worm,
yeah.
you can still recognize, okay, these are the weird face tentacles. This is how it moves.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. And it attacking the building was so fucking awesome.
Yeah. So it just burrows through and out and back in and wraps around and constricts itself against that midpoint of the building that had already been shot at. Constricts it. The building fully starts to topple over, gets stopped because it hits another building on the other side. The thing starts to burrow again, go down through. It goes in for like the kill shot. Like it's right next to their faces. They drop down onto the fire escape. Enter Optimus Prime with his jetpack with wings and machine guns. He shoots it a bunch of times, shoots a couple rockets through the building at it,
yeah.
and then flies through that opening he created to decapitate Robo Shai Hulud using his wings.
That's really cool.
Optimus then makes the really stupid decision of standing triumphantly on a crane, and then getting shot at by Shockwave and getting all tangled up.
Gotta get that hero shot.
Yeah. And he gets all tangled up in these fucking, like, here's the thing. If Optimus had not gotten caught there and was just present for the entire Battle of Chicago, it would have been over so much more quickly.
Yeah.
Like, now they had to write Optimus out. They're like, this dude likes taking faces too much.
Yeah.
How do we stop this?
They had to Goku him.
Yeah.
The most
yes,
powerful
exactly.
guy gets out of commission for the majority of the fight.
Yes. So he's tangled up, like, a 1,000 feet in the air, and he has to have the wreckers like climb up the crane to like untangle him.
Yeah.
The Decepticons around the world launch pillars into space at Sentinel's command, while Wheelie and Brains commandeer an aerial fighter. Yeah. Epps and his team get separated from Sam and Carly while fleeing from Starscream, who goes to attack Sam. Sam uses one of Q's grappling gauntlets to attach to Starscream's eye, who then starts flailing around with Sam still tethered.
He's drooling again.
Yeah.
Why? This is the smallest, most nitpicky thing, but why the fuck are all the Decepticons drooling?
Because it's freaky.
But it's stupid. It goes against everything that we've seen up in these movies.
Starscream in the second one spit a bit. Like
he spit oil. This is a drool. This is a clear fluid.
Maybe it was fresher oil.
Okay.
Have you ever done an oil change?
No, but I've refilled oil.
Yeah, it's not black.
Megatron's mouth looks... The first time we see him in this movie, he looks like he has gums. Those were gums.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not.
I like the freakiness of having the flesh.
I would like it.
Fleshatron.
I would like it if it was...
No, that sounds like a sex toy.
I would like it if it was established in the previous movies or at all.
The thing is, the designs keep evolving throughout the movies.
You mean transforming?
No, evolving. Evolving.
Okay.
I thought about making that joke. I'm like, but it doesn't make sense in content. Because they are upgrading and updating the designs as they go. So, yeah, they're adding more things. Yeah, it would have been cool if it was 100% consistent, but it's not. That's not how...
Yeah.
Like... Okay. Not how things work. I mean, it is, but, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Sam activates a bomb and stabs it into Starscream's other eye as Lennox arrives to help. Starscream screaming he can't see and just starts bashing his face into the pavement to try to dislodge the bomb is, like, my favorite Starscream moment in this movie is just him bashing his face. Onto the pavement to dislodge a bomb that's in his eye.
And I did count. It did go off after 30 seconds.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now they got the editing right.
So Lennox tries to cut the cable on the grapple as Starscream smashes his own head into the ground. He flies on top of the nearby parking garage with Sam and Lennox as the grapple is cut. His head and chest blow up, and Bumblebee arrives in time to save them from falling off a 6-story roof.
Yeah.
Bumblebee goes to round up the rest of the Autobots as the humans make their final push with the combined forces of Lennox and Epps. William Brain's ship is recalled back to the command ship, and Navy SEALs emerge from the river to join the military resistance. Dutch hacks into the bridges to lower them. Sentinel activates the pillars and begins to transport Cybertron into Earth's atmosphere. It's fine. It looks good.
I have mixed opinions, mixed feelings about him, about his line. As he does it.
Oh, the needs...
The many outweigh the needs of the few. I keep going back... Even as I'm speaking, I'm not sure if I like it or not. It's a corruption of what Spock said in Wrath of Khan.
Which is why I like it.
It's rather clever. It works in the scene. But I don't like the mouth feel of it. It just...
I do. See, here's the thing. I love earlier in the movie when Wheelie just sits down and starts watching... I think it was The Search for Spock. Maybe
that was no. That was Search for Spock was a movie that the thing that he was watching was from one of the episodes.
Oh, was it? Okay, yeah. But he's like, oh, I've seen this one. This is the one where Spock goes nuts, and I like that line. So like, Wheelie's one good line in these movies.
Yeah,
and then later on, I do like the callback.
Here's the thing. It's,
I like it. I'm not as much of a Trekkie as you are. So like,
in the movie. In Wrath of Khan, it just had so... When he said it as he was dying, it had so much more passion and meaning when he said it. And here, it just sounds like a sad man relegated to
again,
the fact
Again, like
that
you
he
said,
said,
it's a corruption of it.
Yeah.
It's fully meant as...
Maybe the fact that I don't like it is good. Then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think for a Star Trek... I think for the general audience, it's supposed to be like, oh, hey, that's a Star Trek reference because it's Leonard Nimoy. Yeah. And for actual Star Trek fans, it should be a, ooh, I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah.
I think that line does its job perfectly if that's the reaction you have to it.
I think so.
Because I like it and you're conflicted.
Yeah.
I think that means that line did its job.
I think so. Here's the thing. They also were able to reference it while making it still work within
yes,
the movie.
Yes, exactly.
Something I love when
exactly.
movies
so
are
I,
able to.
I think that so, line fully okay. did what it was supposed to do by making you a little bit uncomfortable with
yes.
it.
Yeah. Sky laser.
Wait, yes, there's a big blue sky laser. It's fine. It is what it is. Yeah. It's just, it's par for the course.
I was so confused about Cybertron's appearance in the sky. It's about 5 times the size of Earth.
Yeah.
And the moment it would appear, like, it looks like it's close enough to Earth that it looks like it's in the upper atmosphere.
Just wait until the end of the last night where the movie ends and Cybertron is physically touching Earth. And that's just, it's fine. It's just touching Earth. It's fine.
Yeah, because fuck gravity, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
Dude, do not get me started on how fucking bullshit that entire movie is. I'm so upset.
Okay.
It literally, every single, and I'm going to put this on in quotes here, idea mm-hmm. that it had for the movie had already been done, maybe not necessarily in a Transformers continuity. A lot of it was, though. Mm-hmm. Actually, no. I think almost all of it had been like directly stolen from different Transformers continuities, thrown together into a pot, along with a big bucket of dog shit, and said, how can we make all these cool ideas work badly together? The Michael Bay story. I'm upset with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bumblebee, Dino, Sideswipe, Q, and Ratchet are captured by Barricade and Soundwave's forces. Dylan yells at Soundwave for keeping prisoners, and Soundwave gets excited and says, I understand. No prisoners. Only trophies.
It's a good line.
He executes Q.
I liked him.
B, I think they're going to kill us.
I miss him now he's dead. Pour one out for good old P. I mean Q.
Mind your P's and Q's, motherfucker. And then Bumblebee just says, goodbye, old friend. We have no reference for this.
Yeah.
If it was actually Wheeljack, I'd feel bad.
Okay. But it's Q.
Want to know what sucks, though? Mm. They made... They did make Q kind of have some of Wheeljack's, not personality, but characteristics of like being the inventor and tinkerer of the group.
Uh-huh.
If they had given that exact... if they had given that to Pablo Jack from Rise of the Beasts, I might not hate the character so much, but they just made Pablo Jack do nothing.
Yeah. The thing.
Sorry, I'm still upset about that.
Yeah, the thing about Q is that it's clear to me that they went in two direct... They took the character of Wheeljack.
Yeah.
And they said, actually, we're going to do Q as an homage to
James Bond.
James Bond. But they ended up not doing either enough of either.
Yeah, exactly.
If they had found a voice actor who played a Q in a previous James Bond movie, doesn't even have to be a good one, and had them and leaned into it a little bit more, make him British, not German.
But, at the same time, like... To be a good iteration of Wheeljack, to me, the design has to be there. Mm-hmm. Like, the design is first and foremost what I want to see. I want to see that his general design that he's had in every single continuity.
Except these.
I want to see that design with the personality of, I can make a lot of shit. Some of it might blow up while I'm making it, but at least then we can go kick some fucking ass.
Okay.
It has to be... A good, moderately decent inventor, or at least like, things are going to blow up in his face. It's going to be fine, but he also has to be a very good fighter because Wheeljack is also an extremely skilled fighter.
Got it.
Like, none of these movies have gotten Wheeljack right, and I feel like he's not that hard to do.
Yeah,
literally. Okay, here's what you do: you just take Wheeljack's design and say, "Okay, you're Tony Stark now."
Okay.
All of a sudden, you have a live-action Wheeljack that I'm not going to hate.
Okay.
Like, yeah, rip off Tony Stark a little bit, maybe make him a little bit less snarky. I'm fine with it. Just...
From your description, I feel like I'm going to try to pitch an idea for a Wheeljack. Basically, Ratchet from Chip and Dale, but as a Transformer.
No,
not... Personality.
Hmm.
Just her personality.
Hmm.
Plus explosives.
I'll see you, Ratchet, and raise you, Ratchet and Clank.
I'm not familiar with those characters.
Okay, just go with it.
Okay. All right, let's get back to the movie. They're about to execute B.
Yes, so they're about to execute B. Sam cries, yada, yada, yada. Wheelie and Brains just get to the command modules. They basically get to the ECU.
It's a ship carrier?
Yeah, it's like their command ship kind of thing.
Yeah.
They basically get to, like, its CPU and just start tearing wires, and the ships start falling out of the sky, giving B enough of a distraction to lower his battle visor. and then take Soundwave head on. Mm-hmm. After a brief fight, he finds an opening to grab onto Soundwave's chest with one hand. With his cannon arm, he uppercuts Soundwave in the torso and then shoots and blasts Soundwave's head clean off his body and then just tosses the body aside like last week's leftovers.
It was a good fight.
It is a good fight. I do have to say, based on just the action scenes in this movie between, and I'm going to fully discount Ironhide and everything here, just Bumblebee and Optimus's kills in this movie, how the fuck did they lose on Cybertron? All you have to do is say, hey, B, go kick ass. Hey, Optimus, there's a face over there that's unripped. And, like, you've won the war. Like, these like, literally second-in-commands are just being taken out like nothing.
Yeah.
It's the one issue that I have in this movie is, like...
Power scaling.
Power scaling is terrible. Mm-hmm. Soundwave and Shockwave should not have gone out as easily as they did.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Shockwave. Yeah. Holy shit. He was dead before Optimus even touched him. Jesus Christ, we're getting there.
Right.
The humans get into position to take on Shockwave and his troops, like
there's,
I said.
There's a lot of soldiers that just show up out of nowhere.
All right, so they... At first, it's just Epps and his little squad with Sam, and then Lennox and his team, which, okay, we got set up that they were going to join.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Navy SEALs just rise from the river.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Also, is like a really creepy, just like, oh, they're just there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they're running through a courtyard, and there's just like army there.
Like two battalions of ground soldiers.
They're just collecting, like, the military, like Pokemon at this point. Like, they literally catch them all.
How did, like, all the other ones...
It's like every single human left in Chicago was military.
Everyone, up until we see just these soldiers just standing there, everything else made sense.
Yeah.
That's
the one that made me actually write down, they start collecting military like Pokemon.
Like, they even say, like, okay, we're going to have to air drive in.
Yeah.
We're going to get the Marines to go up the river.
Yep.
And no, wait a minute. What about these guys? Oh, we got in.
Yeah. We've been here.
Yeah. They're just standing around. I didn't even see any, like, troop transport
or
anything.
No, they were just sitting in the courtyard, like,
waiting for orders.
What if they were, like, ROTC? Like, we were fully here for just, like, a training weekend? Like, sure, we'll help.
I guess. Yeah, maybe.
All right, so the humans get into position to take on Shockwave and his troops, collecting more men like Pokemon. As Barricade berates the other Decepticon fodder, the military parachute in as snipers take out the Decepticons' optical sensors.
Carly just kind of stands there and does nothing during this fight.
I mean, that's what she's been doing for most of this movie.
Yeah.
The demolition teams then plant bombs on the Decepticons' legs to blow them up. Lennox and his team drop down from nearby to finish the fight. They tear into Shockwave and do quite a bit of damage before Optimus...
You said finish the fight, and now the song is stuck in my head.
I hate you. and Optimus arrives to finish what they started. So I do like... One of the Air Force guys fully just lands on Shockwave's shoulder, and you hear the little grenade launcher go poop, and then just a portion of Shockwave's torso just goes boosh, just blasts out. I'm like, yeah, nice.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing, like, I like the back end of this movie.
The back end of this movie is dope as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, the back end of this movie pretty much makes up for all of the just fucking convoluted bullshit. I love it. So flying in with his jet suit, Optimus takes out half a dozen Decepticons just while landing.
Yeah.
Strips off his jetpack, lunges for Shockwaves, transforms his fist into a bladed knuckle duster, tears open Shockwave's torso, rips out Shockwave's spark and eye, which has just been dangling there for a minute because his face got fully blown up.
Yeah.
Uses Shockwave's massive arm cannon to shoot down Sentinel's pillar, calling for his former leader to come face him.
That fight was so fast. This entire movie with the giant worm
yeah.
and with everything, like, I don't even like Transformers to begin that much to begin with. So when I see this, I'm like, oh, cool. They've been hyping this up more than the actual boss fight.
Yeah.
Oh, it's done. How did you feel in theaters when you saw this and you just saw him go down that fast?
I wish it had been a bigger fight.
Uh-huh.
But I really, really like the fight that Optimus has with Sentinel, so it makes up for it.
Okay.
No, it's not necessarily the longest, and we do get some things interspersed between it, but I feel like you can actually feel the raw emotion of both of these robot characters in this fight, and I love that.
Yeah.
Which makes this fight probably one of my favorite in the series.
Mm-hmm.
It works for me. Especially just because they're in, like, basically fighting while kind of having an argument about philosophy.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I love Sentinel Prime's whole deal. It works for me. So Sentinel transforms his sword into a double blade, descends down the building, and Optimus produces a sword and an axe, and they converge in a flurry of blades.
Mm-hmm.
And I do love, shit. I bring you Cybertron, your home, and still you choose humanity. You were the one who taught me that freedom is everyone's right.
That's good.
I like every time that Optimus references freedom.
Yeah.
It's just good.
Yeah.
Optimus Prime makes me feel more patriotic than the rest of America.
I'm going to give you an idea, and you're going to do it just because you're going to love it. Set your phone so when you get a notification, it's just Optimus Prime going,
freedom! 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 Freedom!
Just like three different cuts from three different sections.
Dude, you do realize that I'd be a Republican again, right? If that happened. Just like, yup, nope. Protect and serve.
Every text would take ages to get back because you'd have to salute.
Yep.
To
my Lord and Savior, Optimus Prime.
All right.
Sentinel calls for the Decepticon ships to fire on Optimus, which pins him and most of the rest of the Autobots down. The Tomahawks that they've been talking about for the last 45 minutes, saying that they'd take 20 minutes to get there, finally show up and take out all of the ships. The other Autobots all jump Sentinel at once and just get tossed to the side. There's just this one moment where Sideswipe transforms into his car. It's a wide shot, and it's almost, it like, blink and you miss it. Drives up and, like, uses Sentinel's shield as a ramp, and transforms back to, like, try to stab at him with his arm blades, and Sentinel just takes his shield and just, like, throws him off the other way. Just, like, one smooth motion. She's like, nope, be gone, insect. Sam and the Autobots, the rest of the Autobots take on Sentinel together poorly before Optimus can join back in. Sam and the Autobots rush the pillar, which is still functional, just deactivated. Dylan is already there, however, and he and Sam have a little fist fight that only happens because Dylan gets hit in the face with a newspaper flying around.
Yeah, the only reason...
The only reason Sam didn't get shot point blank in the face was because a newspaper flew over and hit Dylan in the face.
Think about a Looney Tunes
moment. Like, every villain goes back to Looney Tunes on this show for us. He and Sam have a fist fight. Dylan reactivates the pillar. Meanwhile, Carly sees Megatron sitting in an alley. And decides to do something productive for a change.
Yeah.
She calls Megatron Sentinel's bitch, which prompts Megs to become a little bit upset, but ultimately not kill the blonde.
I almost like the scene.
Again, if it was Michaela doing it, this scene would be phenomenal, and it would probably be my favorite scene in the movie.
She plays off of Megatron's ego.
Yeah.
Like, just the perfect way. She's, like, if this was Megan Fox.
It's literally, like I said earlier.
I can't believe I used to be scared of you.
Why would I be afraid of you? After everything that I have personally witnessed with you, it's obvious that you are no longer a threat and might not have been much of a threat to begin with. Like, go fuck off.
Yeah.
If you actually want to
be the thing that you want me to be so scared of,
then
go kill him.
Then fucking do it.
Yeah.
That would have been so dope, but instead it's just, any minute now, he'll be nothing but Sentinel's bitch. Hurrah! like that.
Yeah.
Megatron makes that exact face, like, Like, yeah, he makes a face.
He does the Homer thinking thing.
He does!
He processes it really slowly, and her point wasn't even that great to begin with.
No, it wasn't. Like, again, if this was a character that had history with Megatron,
yeah,
this would have been an amazing scene, but it just, it falls so flat.
Yeah.
Sentinel tries to retreat in vehicle mode, but Optimus tackles him on the bridge. They fight a bit more, and Sentinel is able to fully stab through Optimus's shoulder with his sword and tear his arm off.
Yeah.
He's about to kill Optimus when he is shot in the back a couple times by Megatron's shotgun, and then is thrown to the ground. This is my planet! Sam hits Dylan in the head with a big rock on a stick. Don't ask me where he found it. It's literally a rock on a stick.
Yeah.
It's not even a piece of rebar.
I thought it was a sign like that was stuck in the ground, but I'm just realizing now all the wreckage that they were on was from up in a building.
Yeah, it was from the pillar that got shot down.
So,
or from the cupola that the pillar was in that got shot down.
So I think it was supposed to be a sign and with some concrete still attached to
the end. It looks like a... It looks like a ooga booga.
Yeah.
Like caveman rock on a stick.
It looks like I took a piece of metal and a rock in Tears of the Kingdom and fused them together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, like it looks like a fucking like Boku club.
Yes.
Anyway, Sam hits Dylan in the head with a big rock and a stick. Dylan is electrocuted against the pillar and dies. Then Bumblebee tackles it to destroy it. This causes Cybertron to be sucked back into its original place in the universe, forcefully and with much damage.
Yeah, so it looked like Cybertron collapsed in on itself as the portal closed.
Mm-hmm.
He said time and space.
Yeah.
Were they taking Cybertron from the past?
No, they were instantly taking it from its point in space and time and bringing it to... So, same time, it's just space.
So they destroyed...
It's technically a space bridge, not a... It's a space bridge, not a transwarp.
Got it. Okay, no, that thank you. Thank you. Oh my god, I can't believe that makes sense to me. Yeah, yeah.
A transwarp can do both time and space.
Okay.
And is, at least in the Transformers movies, is a maximal thing.
Yeah.
Where the, space bridges are just space travel.
So did like, it just...
Instantaneous
I'm
travel.
I'm just trying to figure out, did it go back through the portal, or did it collapse? Or, I don't understand, because we see this, like, big whirlpool.
So there's two trains of thought here. There's one that it's just kind of retreats back, and the whirlpool was just a weird effect that going back had on it for some reason. Because in the... And I'm going to use this term very loosely here, because... The first three movies, continuity is a little bit of an issue, but you can draw a direct line.
Yeah.
Once you get to the fourth and fifth, that's just out the window.
Yeah.
And everything just gets convoluted as fuck, and there is no continuity anymore, especially the fifth one. It's like, oh no, Optimus has been here since the Revolutionary War. By the way, he was fighting for the British.
Did he also fight for the South?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I know we get a couple of, like, photographs of just Transformers standing next to Civil War soldiers. I think it was Ironhide, and it might have been the South.
Uh-huh. We're gonna have to double-check that.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But, like, they were just like, oh, yeah, no, remember how the Transformers came to Earth for the first time in the 2007 movie? Yeah, no, they've been here for thousands of years.
Okay.
It's bullshit.
Huh.
It's bullshit. Anyway, the next time we see Cybertron in the fifth movie, it's just fully moving, like, through space to Earth, and it's not damaged like this.
Okay.
It's broken up into, like, weird pieces, but it's not, like... like sucked in and imploded upon itself. Okay. It's weird.
So fuck continuity.
Fuck continuity. No. As far as I'm concerned, if we say the Transformers movies end here, Cybertron was fully destroyed.
Okay. Okay.
So Meg, go ahead.
Yeah. No, can I take this? Because this is this. I know you're. This scene seems so fast.
Do you mind if I
go
do
it
because I want to do the actual quotes?
Okay, go for it.
And everything. So Megatron says to Prime, "We need a truce. All I wanted was to be back in charge. Besides, Who would you be without me, Prime? Battle Mask goes up. Time to find out. Armless, by the way, he has one arm left, picks up his axe, twirls it around, like lodges it directly into Megatron's face, puts his foot on Megatron's back, and just rips Megatron's head and spinal column out of the body, drops it on the ground, picks up Megatron's shotgun as Sentinel tries to plead for his life. Like, all I wanted was for the survival of our race. You must see, that is why I had to betray you. You didn't betray me. You betrayed yourself. Double tap to the cerebellum.
The whole horror of killing surrendered prisoners goes right out
the window. This is why we call him Rorcrime Prime.
It goes right out the window when you're holding the gun. Oh my god, this scene was so dumb.
I like it.
It's dumb. There was Sentinel had already lost.
Yes, but he was extreme. Even a defeated Sentinel is an extremely dangerous, even prisoner to have.
But Megatron being like, that was the most sane thing that Megatron's ever done.
So Megatron's like, all right, whatever. It's obvious that we've this has gone too far. Mm-hmm. Like, it took me being called a bitch by somebody who I've never met before for me to realize this. So it's not great character development, but it is development nonetheless.
Yeah. And I like that he tries to pull the Batman Joker thing. Like, what are you going to fight for if I'm gone? Yeah. Come on.
Well, and that's the exact thing, too. The Cybertronian Civil War would not have happened if Megatron did not betray Prime initially. Mm. The only thing that Optimus Prime has known for the majority of his existence is this war.
Mm.
So it actually is a very good question. Who would you be without me?
Right.
I love that because they do have a Batman Joker thing in a sense. Mm-hmm. So that line works. But then Optimus is like, all right, I know what Megatron's capable of. I know what Sentinel is capable of. They know what I'm capable of. I am still in a bad situation here because if either of them stands up and they both turn to look at me, I am dead.
Mm.
I have the opportunity here to fully end the Civil War,
okay,
which has already, at this point, and just going by what he probably would have seen in the sky based on what we see happening to Cybertron. Cybertron is destroyed. There is no Cybertron anymore. It's not the right decision to make, but in a moment of weakness, it is the most logical thing that I can do.
Okay. I feel like the thing that we're leaving out is this entire thing with Megatron and Sentinel dying happens over the course of maybe 45 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's what bugs me. There's no pomp and circumstance to it. There's a little bit of slow motion, and he's just like, no, I'm done. Fuck this. And I don't like that. It felt stupid. It felt undeserved. It felt like a false ending. It just felt like it was done. It was done. I was happy to be done.
But I'm looking at it from the greater continuity of how much Optimus.
The greater continuity. The greater good.
Not greater good.
The greater continuity.
The greater continuity.
The greater continuity.
Why are you enunciating that so weird?
I don't know. Just to annoy you.
It's working.
Okay.
but for the... looking at the continuity as a whole, I like that Optimus had a... I don't even want to call it a moment of weakness. He knows that this is not the right thing to do, but it is the most logical thing he can do to protect not only himself and the rest of the Autobots, but all of humanity as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just... I like it. Mm-hmm. Now, in the book, Optimus and Megatron actually do come to a truce, and Megatron takes all the Decepticons back to Cybertron, which apparently isn't destroyed.
Okay, so they hopped on it.
Yeah, and it's just like, all right, war is over.
Hmm.
You we're just gonna fuck off back to Cybertron, which is a barren wasteland. Stay here. I don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like the idea of this, because...
The live and let live.
Yeah, I like the idea of this. I think it would have been... If they were not going to continue the series, I think it would have been a good just ender. They did continue the series. and the way they continued the series, actually.
So
it kind of would have been cool to see Megatron and Optimus fighting together against Lockdown in the Age of Extinction, considering that Lockdown was just fully unaffiliated bounty hunter. I'm just doing my goddamn job. But even all of the plot points that would have made that interesting in Age of Extinction, they fully dropped for the last night. And it's like, oh yeah, you know how Optimus fully fucked off of Earth to go find the creators? Yeah, we're not going to give you any resolution to that. The next time you see him, he will be beaten up and pretty much dead, just floating derelict in space, and Cybertron crashes into him.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. The last night does not make sense.
Everything that you told me about movies 4 and 5 feel like they exist within their own, like, bubble. Like, it feels...
4 does feel like it could be a legit extension of 1, 2, and 3. There's a lot of issues with that movie. Then again, like I said, the fan edit that makes it watchable actually might put it above this movie. No, it will put it above Rise of the Beasts.
Okay.
But not quite to this level. It's just, there's so much extra bullshit that's not needed. The Last Knight is in its own bubble. In its own bubble.
Okay.
It's just bullshit after bullshit after bullshit after bullshit.
Okay.
I have never met somebody who said, I enjoyed it for what it was. Not even I enjoyed it for what it was, Gage.
Okay.
It's, this movie is dog shit.
God.
I'm
glad you're preparing me for it.
There's no amount of preparation I can do that is going to make you understand when Anthony Hopkins just pulls out something and says, this is the watch that killed Hitler. It's a Transformer.
Okay. Let's finish up with this movie.
And when he threatens the British Prime Minister with the watch that killed Hitler. Because reasons.
So,
because Optimus, he broke into the Prime Minister's house.
So Optimus commits war crimes.
He's war crime prime. We've been over this.
This is shown as a victorious moment. All of the people who fought in the battle make silent, manly nods at each other. Sam and Carly kiss. The two of them say "I love you" to each other, which would be more impactful if it was Michaela.
Yep.
There's a final speech by Optimus Prime.
Well, Bumblebee pulls a bunch of cogs out of his chest and starts to... It's like, again, would have been more impactful if it was Michaela.
Yeah.
And then...
John Turturro and CIA lady kiss.
Well, that's the post-credit, and that was fully a blooper.
Oh. Really?
John Turturro looks directly into the camera and laughs.
Oh, my God.
It's a blooper.
Oh, my God.
It's a blooper that they used as a, like, stinger.
Okay.
But it's not even a stinger.
Okay.
Optimus has a closing narration saying, the day will never come that we forsake this planet or its people. You know, until the fourth one when he point blank kills a person. It was deserved, still.
You keep dropping these bombs on me, and I'm only now convinced how unprepared I am for the Marky Mark movies.
Age of Extinction, again, I want to, we're going to watch the theatrical version. I want to find the fan edit of Age of Extinction just to show you what a same director, just cutting out the fucking fluff, what it does for that movie, because it's insane.
Okay.
It's still not a great movie. It's not as good as this. It's probably, like, just below Rise of the Beasts for me in that case. But it's just...
Okay.
It's just.
All right. roll credits. So, some wrap-up. I loved the cold open. With all the
cold
stuff.
Open's great.
The cold open's
it's not as good as the Bumblebee cold open.
Yeah. No, yeah.
But...
But
credit where credit's due.
Yes.
For just wide shots of a Cybertronian battle, that was dope.
The first act... is terrible, and the second act feels like it's recovering from the first act.
Yeah,
and then it snorted cocaine and became the amazing third act.
Yeah, the third act that even with fucking plot contrivances still manages to hold itself together into something cohesive.
Yeah,
and easy to digest.
Yeah.
That's the thing. This is the one Transformers movie that by the end, you don't feel like you've been whiplashed.
Right.
Because, again, even with like some of the fights that are a little bit more, I don't want to say messy, but messy. Mm-hmm. Like, they still feel better than all of the fights from the previous movies.
Yeah.
Like, it's like as time goes on, they realize how to make these fights better. Mm-hmm. And it's great. Yeah. I love it.
It also, like, the ending is so solid, mm-hmm. you kind of forget about the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's nice.
Yeah, it is very nice, because I had watched this, a few days went by, and then you told me, yeah, I'm about 30 minutes into this movie, and I fucking hate the first act. And then eventually you were just like, okay, I'm going to do act 1 and 2 because I hate them. And then you can do act 3 because I know you're going to go off.
Yeah.
Like, okay, perfect. And I was trying to remember, why does he hate act 2? I know it's slow to start. And then I watched it. I'm like, oh, right. I just always block this out because from an hour and a half in until 2.5 hours when the movie ends, the last hour of this movie is just balls to the wall crazy, but good.
Yeah. And it's...
This is the only Michael Bay Transformers movie, or the only Michael Bay movie other than The Rock, that I couldn't conceivably not call him that cunt Michael Bay.
Even Pearl Harbor?
It's too boring. Nothing happens. It's okay. Boring to me.
It's boring.
It's too long. I'm not a fan of it.
I like it for different reasons.
It's a good movie.
Yes.
It's not my kind of movie.
I get that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's also, I think, the least explosive heavy movie that Bay's ever done.
I think so.
Which is ironic.
Because, he was also, like, that was the one film where he was actually, like, keeping to the standards of the time. I mean, we got explosions, but they were water explosions.
Right.
And he even added fireballs with the explosions because the sneak attack only attacked the base and he added a whole scene where the hospital got attacked.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's... yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Pearl Harbor's fine. It's not a movie that I particularly enjoy.
I get that.
I'm not going to fault Michael Bay for that, though. Like, I feel like that movie kind of had to be...
Yeah.
...as drawn out as it was.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's not for me.
Want to go through accolades?
Yes. Do you have a favorite shot?
I think it's the shot of Shai Hulud crushing the building.
That,
like, it climbs up, and then it wraps around,
and you see
it just tightens up.
Yeah. Mine is Megatron on the throne of Abraham Lincoln.
That's a pretty good one, too.
It's just, for a Transformers fan that literally, pretty much from the day that I was able to watch what I wanted on TV, and Transformers was on, like, this is the shot that just... what's the word? Immortalizes the character of Megatron for me.
Okay.
No, this is not the best iteration of Megatron. Not even in this continuity is it the best iteration of Megatron. But the idea of Megatron shooting the statue of Abraham Lincoln and then, for lack of a better term, sitting on his lap is just so Megatron to me that just makes me happy inside. Favorite scene?
I kind of liked the base jumping scene.
Yeah.
It was well shot. It was well composed. Like, yes, it was probably not shot in a city.
No.
But at the same time, I could see it being very easily shot in a city.
Yeah.
Especially that city.
It's a matter of, did the studio feel like going through the hassle of getting permits?
Yeah.
If yes, then probably could have even been done in Chicago.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of, I don't know how much of a fight that would have been with the city of Chicago.
Right.
Or how, like, I don't know.
I mean, I feel like Chicago's pretty open with making movies. They
probably
shot most of The Dark Knight there.
That's true.
So,
yeah. I mean, they could have just done that on location in Chicago with drones.
Yeah.
And then what they needed to CGI in, they CGI'd in.
Right.
And done a couple of scenes fully CGI because there were collapsed buildings and stuff. And you know they didn't get permits for that.
Yeah.
It would be funny if Michael Bay just rolled up And like, all right, we're shooting on location in Chicago. That building right there needs to be on the floor. The mayor's like, okay, give me like 2 days. That's a huge stack of money. Holy shit. I'm trying to think what my favorite scene is, because it's hard for me to separate
the speeches from the...
It's hard for me to separate the Optimus speeches from the action sequences. Mm-hmm. And I love, with a passion, everything with the collapsing building. Mm-hmm. Like, that was done so well that I want to give it to it.
It was pretty good.
It was really good. But it's so hard for me to not go with just the Optimus speech.
Which one?
Any of them! Any of them, Gage! What I was specifically thinking of was when they first get to Chicago.
Oh.
But even the Like, time to find out. Okay. Like, even that, it's just, let me the fight between Sentinel and Optimus at the end.
Oh, that was the worst.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, wait, oh, the actual fight.
No, the actual fight. Not just Megatron coming in.
Okay.
I do love that, too, though. I understand you have problems with it. I don't.
Okay.
I think it's, it does feel a little quick and messy. I feel like... to make the decision to commit war crimes, it kind of has to be quick and messy.
Yeah, I guess.
I also love the idea of Optimus just fully in his head going like, to war crime or not to war crime? Who am I kidding?
Faces. More faces.
Take their face. Take their face. Take their face. No, I have to give it to... specifically when Sentinel like descends down the building and like they briefly discuss philosophy before trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
I love all of it so much. I love it.
So,
standout performance.
I think the collaborator boss is a close second.
Patrick Dempsey.
Patrick Dempsey, close second.
As Dylan Gould.
Yeah. I think I have to give it to, Spock. Why can't
Leonard Nimoy?
Leonard Nimoy.
That was mine.
Yeah. And I have to give Leonard Nimoy for favorite design as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I really want to
know what sucks.
Yeah.
There is no figure of Sentinel Prime out there that does not look like utter shit.
I can see that being an issue.
I mean, the entire back of his the top of his fire truck is supposed to turn into his cape.
Oh,
dear. It's like, how the fuck do you do that? And not just have, like, half of the truck sticking out on his back.
Right.
So it's like, they don't all look like utter dog shit. The newest Studio Series one actually looks relatively good. Mm-hmm. They do have a upscaled knockoff of it where the, like, quote-unquote backpack, which is just the fire truck folded up on its back, can be removed and you can plug in a new piece, which is his cape, and it looks good.
Okay.
But it still looks like a cheap like $30 toy just made to the size of being like a $120 toy. The original Leader class from 2011 was great for its time, but it was literally just the roof just split in half and stayed there. There wasn't a cape. It was just like two panels that hung down.
Huh.
And it was a little bit too big and bulky, but the entire front half of it, like the front of the truck mode, actually transformed into his chest.
Oh, nice.
And looked good. Like, insane.
Cool.
But no, I'm hoping a third party or somebody makes a Sentinel Prime figure.
The design on him is just really tight and like clean.
What's great is that style of design is the kind of design that they start messing around with more for the next two movies.
Okay.
It's like way more cohesive, colorful, like streamlined while still having this look of being complicated, complex mechanical beings.
Okay, I am aware that in the next movies there's going to be a lot more beards.
Hound has a beard.
Okay. Doesn't Goodman?
Yeah, that's Hound.
Oh, that's Hound.
Yeah.
Okay.
Goodman Bot has a beard.
And smokes a cigar.
It's a bullet.
He smokes a bullet.
It's dope.
That's
it. I don't see it as smoking a bullet. I more so see it. You know how like farmers kind of sometimes have like straw or a toothpick in their mouth or something. It's like that, but with a bullet.
He chews on a bullet.
It actually comes up in the movie. You're not going to
convince me that this is cool.
I think this it's cool. Sounds so There's at dumb. Some point where he's out of ammunition and it literally just goes, like, catches the bullet so it's bullets, so that he has the casing in his mouth and just blows a Decepticon's head off. I'm sorry. That's cool. It's stupid, but it's cool. All and right. I'm like, okay with it being cool.
I feel stupid like with cool. the next movie, it's the biggest debate is going to be how, where in the large intersection of stupid and cool
yes.
Does this sit? And if it, I will be fine with things that are stupid cool as long as they are at least less than 30% stupid. That face looks kind of stupid.
This is also a very poorly done face sculpt.
Okay.
This dude in the next movie, his face fully turns into a cannon CJ that's this
showing,
long.
Showing me
a figure of Lockdown.
Okay.
The cannon sticks out to here.
Okay. Huh. Can I see the face? Does he look like this in the movie?
Yes, looks, but better.
Okay. It looks like a skull with pieces of a face attached to it.
Yeah, kind of.
Also, he has lips. As established, I don't like Transformers with lips.
Well, you're going to get more of that.
Cool.
Like I said, that's also... This is like a 7-year-old figure.
Okay.
So it's like they're, it's a bit outdated now.
All right.
No, not that Lockdown. God damn it. I didn't put any Transformers references in it, so it just thinks that I'm talking about COVID. Oh, God. That's...
It looks too human.
Yeah, they start going more human with the designs.
I don't like it.
I do.
I don't know, man. It just looks like an android. You show me that, I don't think Transformer. That's a very spiky android.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I like when Transformers turn from cars into robots that you can't tell that they turn into a car. This transforms into a Lamborghini, motherfucker.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
It's not a great-looking Lamborghini, but...
I like the Transformers when you can kind of, like, make a guess as to what they transform into. Like, Optimus definitely, like, you can see the truck parts. Yes.
Until he gets his new form, and then he turns into that truck there.
Uh-huh.
And that truck, like, he looks like a knight.
Neat.
I like it. Mm. I'm sorry. Here's the issue. I want you to go into Age of Extinction fully realizing that I know that this movie is dog shit.
Okay.
This is also going to be probably for the Transformer stuff, not the human stuff that can go the fuck away.
Uh-huh.
For the Transformer stuff is probably the one I'm going to defend the most.
Okay.
I need you to be aware that I understand this movie's bad. I just like parts of it a lot.
Okay. I'm okay. Here's the thing. There are parts of every movie that I like, even if they're terrible. So,
I need you to keep that in mind.
Okay. However, if there are any scenes that are particularly bad or particularly hits me in the wrong way, I'm going to fight you on them a little bit.
That's fine.
Okay.
I don't mind that because, like I said, I know this movie is bad.
Okay.
There are things even with the Transformers that I fucking hate in Age of Extinction. Mm-hmm. They make their own Transformers that just turn into Lego bricks and click together.
Like actual Lego bricks?
Ooh, you're in for a treat.
Oh, God. Okay, well...
They try to do their own thing. It's bad. It's real bad.
Okay, well...
Optimus Prime just has a hate boner for like half the movie, by the way.
Neat. Neat.
It, in context, I think it works.
Okay.
Pretty much the setup for the next movie is it's like 5 years after the Battle of Chicago, and Transformers have fully just been like, no, kill on sight orders. Because it's like, America is not letting this happen again.
Uh-huh. Okay. The Bush.
There's a human death squad that hunts Transformers, and this guy helps him.
Huh. Okay.
It's cool.
Okay.
It's fine.
If you say so.
I mean, it feels like a natural progression of, hey, all of Chicago was destroyed over a weekend. Should probably do something about that.
Yeah.
And then it gets into the U.S. government and then it goes completely the wrong way.
Okay. Okay.
There's literally see something, say something posters in Texas about
Okay, just let me face it as it comes. Stop telling me things about the next nightmare.
Next nightmare and the last disappointment.
As you keep listing things, I just keep going back. Okay, it's okay. It's okay. After we watch those, I'm going to watch Wings of Desire with
you.
Well,
after we watch those, we take 2 full weeks off.
We take 2 weeks. We have some things in the pipeline for ourselves.
We got some shit in the bucket.
Yeah, hopefully you'll like it. We think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a good robot movie that we're going to be talking about. One that's just about robots.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot we did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this was a good robot movie. Once it got to be a robot movie.
Yes. But it had to take that time to do that,
it
though.
Did. Overall ranking for the Transformers series.
Right. I'm putting it above 07 and below Rise of the Beasts.
Okay, so Bumblebee.
Bumblebee, Rise, Dark of the Moon, 07, Revenge of the Fallen.
Perfect. That is my list, except swap Rise of the Beasts and Dark of the Moon.
Okay.
I love Rise of the Beasts a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That is... I don't know if I mentioned this last... No, I didn't, because it's been 2 weeks since we recorded.
Mm.
I've seen Rise of the Beast in theater 7 times.
7?
It's tied for the most times I've gone to see a movie in theaters with Infinity War.
Wow. Okay.
That's how much I liked it.
So wait, sorry, let me get your list again.
Bumblebee.
Uh-huh.
Dark of the Moon.
Uh-huh.
Rise of the Beasts. 07. Revenge of the Fallen.
Okay, so despite going to see Rise of the Beasts 7 times, holy shit, in theaters, you're still putting it above Rise of the Beasts. You're still putting Dark of the Moon above that.
It's a very thin line.
Mm.
There's not a lot that pulls Rise of the Beasts, or it pulls Rise of the Beasts down or Dark of the Moon up. Mm. They're like neck and neck. But if I have to choose,
okay,
I like Dark of the Moon a little bit more. Specifically for Sentinel Prime.
Okay. I have too many problems with the first and second
act. And that's fine. Yeah. I completely understand that. They do a lot of bullshit to get to the good part.
Yeah.
Where Rise of the Beast is a more cohesive movie that works in and of itself well.
Yes.
Dark of the Moon is not necessarily that, but I feel like it ends at... It's bigger at the end.
Okay.
Because I'm still at the point. 7 times I've seen it. Specifically to watch the third act, because there are things... I love the third act so much. It goes fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some disappointments with the third act still.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I feel like the more I see it, the more I'm just going to be like, yeah, no. Love this movie. Love this third act. It's got some issues
Okay.
I don't have that with Dark of the Moon once I stop watching the movie.
Okay.
Every time I watch Rise of the Beast, I'm like, love this movie. Felt a little disappointed.
Okay.
There's just this tinge of disappointment to it. I can't place it. I don't know what it is.
Hmm.
Where I get out of Dark of the Moon and I'm just singing along to "Do you feel cold and lost in desperation?"
The music in this was very
Linkin
good.
Park.
Yeah.
Dude, the soundtrack to this entire movie is pretty much just like early 2010s, late aughts, like rock and alt metal.
No, let me see if I can remember this. The soundtrack to this movie was actually like on the top 10 albums of that year.
So what's funny, there are 2 movie soundtracks that I used to own on CD.
Mm-hmm.
Transformers, Dark of the Moon, and Avengers.
Mm.
They go fucking hard.
Hmm.
Like this one has Goo Goo Dolls, obviously Linkin Park, Paramore, Black Veil Brides. There's a few others. Like, pretty good rock. Mm-hmm. And then the soundtrack for Avengers had Soundgarden, Shinedown. There's a few others, and I can't remember what they were, and I'm mad at myself for that. Fuck.
Okay.
But, like, good fucking music. Like, this was kind of a golden era for movie soundtracks, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because then a couple of years later, we get Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, all right, we're in full fucking swing. But, all right, thank you guys so much for listening. This has been Transformers Dark of the Moon, Chilling Amongst the Mangoes, CJ and Gage. I'm tired. I'm so glad we kept the AC on for this.
I am too.
Holy shit.
Follow us on our socials.
Yes, all the links down in the description for Instagram, Discord, our website. Rate and review us 5 stars if you could, please. We'd love you forever.
If you know someone who's a big Transformers fan, tell them about our binge.
And tell them to hit me up for, let me know what I got wrong.
And
not necessarily for this one. There was not as much lore in this one.
All right.
And that's why I like this movie.
Okay.
It doesn't go into Transformers lore all that much.
Mm-hmm.
It just lets things happen naturally without, like, relying on previous continuities.
Okay.
Where that's where Revenge of the Fallen really fell apart for me. It's just like, oh no, they're trying to, like, fully lore this out, and it's not working for me.
Hmm.
Anyway,